Welcome to Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast. I'm your host, Mario Gear, where I share my enthusiasm for all topics automotive. Welcome to the Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast, Episode 17. In today's video, I talk about the return of Rally Mexico. We'll put hybrid car technology through a brutal stress test. BMW Motorrad presents the R18B Heavy Duty. Six GT racers confirmed for the refreshed McLaren Motorsports driver lineup. The Ducati Museum and Automobilia Lamborghini Museum experience is born. And my interview with Cold Air Performance founder Dustin Wolf, 2021 SEMA Launchpad winner. If this is your first time here, thanks for clicking that play button. I'm Mario Gear, and I've been involved in the automotive industry for well over 15 years. I'm sharing my enthusiasm for all automotive topics with you. Let's begin. The return of Rally Mexico will put a hybrid car technology through a brutal stress test. The Toyota GR Yaris, Hyundai i20N, and Ford Puma Rally 1 hybrids face their first major test amid high altitudes and high heat. After a three-year hiatus, the FIA World Rally Championship is going back to Rally Mexico. The stages will kick off on Thursday, drawing WRC teams from Hyundai, Ford, and Toyota, which are competing in Rally 1 hybrid cars that debuted last year. As the season's first gravel round, Rally Mexico will put the hybrids through a stress test in conditions they haven't been exposed to yet. The previous rounds of the 2023 WRC took place under the winter conditions of the Rally Monte Carlo and Rally Sweden in what Toyota Gazoo Racing calls a stark contrast to the conditions at Rally Mexico. Ambient temperatures there can be as high as 30 degrees Celsius or 86 degrees Fahrenheit, which may not sound hot enough to stress the machines, but the event's combination of high temperatures, high altitude, and gravel will be a baptism of fire for the hybrids. While the first stage is set in historic, I'm not going to even pronounce that name. You'll have to read the article for yourself. Along the capital city, narrow cobblestone roads and old mining tunnels, latter stages will run in the mountains overlooking the city of Leon. Those courses climb over 2,700 meters, roughly 8,800 feet above sea level, making it hard for the rally cars to breathe. Rally 1 machines are powered by a 1.6-liter turbocharged inline four-cylinder engine, which can lose up to 20% of its power at those altitudes per Toyota. That's where the Hyundai i20N, Ford Puma, and Toyota GR Yaris hybrids will rely on their electric motors to make up the power loss. Together, the i4 combustion engines and hybrid generator units make over 493 horsepower and 369 foot-pounds of torque in hybrids that weigh a mandated minimum of 2780 pounds. The electric motors alone adds 134 horsepower and 133 foot-pounds of torque during acceleration. But the new hybrid tech in these cars is unproven under the exact conditions awaiting them at Rally Mexico, since the last time the event took place was in 2020, before the hybrid cars were released. Teams have been testing Rally 1 cars in similar conditions in Spain, but any testing outside of Europe is against the rules. So Rally Mexico will be a new challenge for the hybrid drivetrains. Toyota hopes to repeat its win from 2020 with Sebastian Ogier at the wheel, who's returning to Rally Mexico with TGR. Ogier is tied with Sebastian Loeb for the most wins at Rally Mexico with a total of 6 wins. And whatever lessons TGR may learn about the hybrids in the hot and high altitude stages of the event could make it to the new Toyota Prius someday, which is still due for its GR variant in the U.S. Rally Mexico is scheduled to take place from March 16th through the 19th. Looks fun. So, are you a rally fan? If so, comment down below what your favorite team is, or car, or a brand that is competing in WRC. I'd like to hear what your guys' thoughts. Let's move on to the next story. BMW Motorrad presents the R18B Heavy Duty. Anyone who talks about the U.S. customization scene mentions Fred Codlin almost in the same breath. For more than 40 years, he has dedicated himself to customizing motorbikes, from radical modified creations to sophisticated new designs. Since the 1990s, he has been incredibly successful with his custom bikes and was able to win various important Daytona shows regularly. He was the very first non-U.S. citizen to be inducted into the Sturgis Hall of Fame. For the first time, Fred Codlin is now set about customizing a BMW together with his son, Len. The BMW R18B. The R18B Heavy Duty was a real father-son project. There was a lot of creative input from Len, which also goes to show that the next generation of the Codlin bikes are already in the starting blocks, says the boss of Codlin bikes in Birkin happily. The biggest challenge in customizing this year's crowd pleaser at Daytona Bike Week in Florida was undoubtedly the frame. We have completely remanufactured the upper tubes to lower the fly line and thus the seat height of the R18B. We also redid the steering head and the triple clamps so that the caster fits despite the change steering angle and so that the bike rides well, explained Fred Codlin. The result was the R18B Heavy Duty, a bike in typical Codlin style. Viewed from the side, the fly line drops sharply to a rear from the chopped windscreen taken from the original BMW Motorrad accessories range and finally runs homogeneously into the case made by Codlin out of glass, fiber-reinforced plastic, and lower rear end. From the top, the R18B Heavy Duty is characterized by a strong waistline in the seat area and flowing connections to the side case. And there's so much more to this. I will post a link to the article in the show notes, and there are different images here. I'm not sure if I can pull them up. Let me see what I can pull up here, if the view of the images will pop up. There we have this one here. Let me see if I can manipulate this a little better so you guys can see it. Some of these images here. Okay, let's see how this turns out so you guys can check them out. That bike sits low. And there we have it. So yeah, comment down below if you like that and you want to see more motorcycle content from other custom bike builders if you guys like this. Let's move on to the next story. Okay. Six GT racers confirmed for refreshed McLaren Motorsports driver lineup. McLaren Motorsports refreshes the driver lineup for the 2023 season. Tom Gamble joins Rob Bell, Marvin Kirchhofer as McLaren factory driver. New McLaren Junior Pro Driver categories for promising young GT drivers Benjamin Goeth and Nikolai Kargin are inaugurated signings. Austin Milner joins McLaren Motorsports as a McLaren Academy driver. McLaren Motorsports has confirmed the renewed driver lineup with four new drivers joining for the 23 season, which incorporate junior pro driver and academy programs designed to mature promising young GT drivers. And I'll have links to this article. You guys can check it out. And whatnot. Move on to the next order. Getting a little pressed for time a little bit here. Here we go. The Ducati Museum and Automobile Lamborghini Museum experience is born. Ducati is updating the Borgo Panigale experience, a path the company has developed for everyone who wants to enter the world of Ducati in Borgo Panigale. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. 90 years of history and passion inside the Ducati Museum, where walking between the production lines, you can have the chance to see what goes on within the factory. With the introduction of the new activities, tour methods, and partnerships, a new prestigious collaboration with Automobile Lamborghini is integrated with the aim of offering increasingly enthralling and unforgettable experiences to all enthusiasts. The Ducati Museum and Automobile Lamborghini Museum experience from March 25th until May 7th has been designed for all fans and automobile enthusiasts who want to personally experience and discover the motoring talent, creative knowledge, and passion of two Motor Valley excellences that export made in Italy products around the world. The tailor-made package for the new experience makes it possible to tour both museums in just one day and pay a reduced admission price for the two tickets and a free shuttle bus service that offers rapid direct museum transfers between Borgo Panigale and St. Augustus Bolognese. This opportunity can be benefited only on Saturday and Sunday and for a group of maximum of 15 people, with guided tours led by qualified guides for both museums in both Italian and English on alternating weekends. To access the museum at a reduced rate and to use the shuttle bus service, booking is mandatory. This can be done either on the Lamborghini website or on a dedicated page of Ducati's website, where the timetables and fares of the experiences can be consulted. So yeah, there you go. I'll have links to this article, press release. So if you're planning on being in Italy, something to consider. Up next is my interview with Dustin Wolf of Cold Air Performance. He is a 2021 SEMA Launchpad winner, and like to hear about how it's been about 16 to 18 months since he won the competition, and how following up with him on him and his company, and how he's been doing, and think you should like it. I'll also have in the show description notes links to his website, as well as a playlist of videos that I've done with him in the past, interviews, as well as some other appearances that he has been on. So enjoy the video, and thanks. My first guest is Dustin Wolf, founder of Cold Air Performance. Thanks for joining me, Dustin.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
No problem, man. Last time we talked was, like, I guess, in the SEMA 2021 on the Launchpad Corral. So how have things been for the last, 16, 18 months since you won the Launchpad?
It's been an eye-opener, man. It's been exciting since winning the Launchpad. And then just kind of switching gears, taking back, all that criticism and instruction from, all the industry moguls that are out there and the judges that were part of the competition, taking what they said, and putting it to work. It's been very busy. It's been extremely busy. Like I said, we switched gears from high performance to diesel, so that's been our main focus. And, it's been fun though.
Okay. So since you brought it up, let me pull something up here for the audience members to check out while we're talking. During the broadcast, they'll be able to see the visual applic of it. So basically, I went to your guys' website and pulled down your four product SKUs you have listed, and maybe we can talk a little bit about each of those product iterations, and you can explain a little bit about that. Right. Let me pull that up right now. And the first one I got is your Universal Extended Product Diesel Kit. I guess that would be your first one, your dual system.
Yeah, that's our Diesel Extreme. So those are the ones that we run on the semi-trucks, the heavy-duty diesels, because it's a short area after you leave the intercooler and you go into the engine. So we had to create basically a system that would be able to give us 20 inches of surface area so we can actually cool down that air charge. So we actually, we got 10, 15 inches, if that, after we leave the intercooler before we connect into the elbow that goes into the engine. So we actually go up 90 degrees and then 180 degrees back down. So we make two passes through two 10-inch coils that are minus 40 degrees.
Nice. That's from what I remember seeing from your product demo back at Launchpad, that inside of that, your charge tube, I guess that's what you would call it, gets really cold.
Yeah, because, I got a refrigeration, commercial industrial background. So what I did was I kind of crossed just refrigeration, but I used low temperature, like a deep freezer, if you could think of something like that. That's the kind of refrigerant that's in the coil. So it's like, it's about 5 pounds of pressure as far as the refrigerant, and it's negative 40 degrees. So yeah, it gets super cold.
Nice. So what spurred your interest? Did you get demand from the overhaul trucking community for your product? Because before you were obviously, like you had mentioned, you were creating high performance. I believe at one time you were calling it Natural Boost, the product line.
Natural Boost. Natural Nitrous. Natural Nitrous was the original name. I liked it.
Yeah.
Everyone else thought it was stupid. Yeah.
Hey.
And truck drivers. So as we tested more, we found that, you know, man, the fuel mileage was way, way better on a diesel with what we were doing cooling the air charge down. So when you talk about nitrous oxide and you're a truck driver, the trucking industry,
right?
People run it.
And it makes sense. Any advantage that they can. Now, do you guys face any kind of regulatory issues? Like if, well, unfortunately, like out here, you try to bolt anything onto anything out here in California. So now that you're in Florida, are you guys running into any issues, or it's more a little lax or easier?
Oh, yeah, no, and I appreciate the question, man, because everything we do is top of the line. It's always all our testing is done third party and is done to the most rigorous test. We turn on our system on the second run. Okay. So we can prove horsepower, torque, fuel economy, emissions, all that stuff after we shouldn't be able to produce that stuff, right?
Right.
So what we've done recently is we've actually tested with SEMA Garage, mm-hmm. and we tested on the Dodge 6.7 2020 Cummins. It performed better than stock while still producing, you know, 60 foot-pounds of torque, 40 extra horsepower. Still kept the emissions very clean. Still better than what's, you know, the limit. So we tested through SEMA. We're SEMA certified now. And now we're actually going through California Research Board for their certification. And we've checked with all OEM manufacturers, all the trucking industries that we're putting the system on. And our system does not void any factory warranty.
Nice. Now, this brings up a good question. If with the gains and everything that your product is producing, is there a business opportunity for you to possibly license your product technology to the manufacturers?
Oh, and we're in talks right now. To answer your question, yes. Yes.
No, folks, this was not planned. I freeballed asking that question. So.
Yeah, but you know what's funny is I have wholesale distributors that I've been setting up across the nation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I meet with these fleets, I meet with these trucking companies, man, the first thing everyone says, or you got the at least the one skeptic that's there, says, I don't understand how Freightliner and Peterbilt, Ford, you know, Dodge didn't come up with this first. Why are you here talking to us? This is, if you're saying what your product can do, well, you know, why is the big guys? It's like, hey, well, Elon Musk, you know, the light bulb. It all started somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and just like Chip Goose said, this is going to change the way the world looks at how we cool the air going in all motors.
Right. It's like, you know, I think way back when we first talked, a glimpse of close to what you're doing, I remember Ford did on a concept truck of their next generation, what they were proposing for the Lightning pickup truck. But what they were calling they were calling it an InstaCharge system. Basically, it was tied into their refrigeration system, into the intercooler that was bolted to the supercharger. But what I think their system was doing was, it was like doing like a pre-drag launch type programming setup where pre-charge or freeze the intercooler for initial takeoff run. At least that was my understanding of the concept from the article. I'm dating myself.
Yeah, and you're right. And you're right. What it's doing is using the AC system that's on the truck, just like the Demon,
mm-hmm.
and it switches with a valve that actually stops cooling you inside the car, and now it cools a plate and frame heat exchanger. That plate and frame heat exchanger is tied into the coolant reservoir for the air-to-water intercooler. Now, you don't have, well, first off, now you're taking energy, you're robbing horsepower and torque and efficiency from the engine because now you got to spin this compressor.
Right.
Then the compressor turns off, even with the Dodge Demon, it turns off after 4,500 RPM. You don't have a huge reservoir of coolant fluid for your air-to-water intercooler. So in one run, you know, 10 to 12 pounds of boost, that stuff heats up immediately, and now you're back to the starting line.
Right.
With our system, it's standalone, it's electrically driven, it's not 134A, which is, you know, 32 degrees, 40, we're minus 40.
Right.
So the compressor only draws 5.6 amps. That's a new style scroll compressor we use. There's no parasitic drag on the engine, and it's something that can run continuously. So you get cold air on demand as long as you want, all the time, not just for a short spurt. And you still have air conditioning inside the cab for you.
Perfect, man. So obviously you got from your SKU market, you're addressing obviously the diesel end market, the heavy equipment diesel end market, but you're still taking care of like the Joe Racer, Weekend Racer for their applications too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, man. We did a Two Guys Garage back in October of last year, and it just seems like Monday we're flooded with one-offs. You know, whether if it's a custom build, I got a new C8 Corvette. So we're constantly R&Ding for these other, the high performance side, as well as doing the trucking, you know, heavy duty diesel as well.
Cool. So obviously business, that sounds like good, because I know I saw on your website, you're now like, you're build to order your kits, and they're like, your lead times are like, what, 45 days right now?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, that's understandable considering that, you know, you look at the parts, and then I don't think anyone's actually seen, you know, your coolant coil inside it, what's all entailed. It's like it's almost like a double coil system, if I remember correctly.
That's right, yeah. One of the inner coil goes clockwise, outer coil goes counterclockwise. We increase the pipe diameter to 4 inches and reduce back down to 3 inch. Another thing to note too is, I know when people they look at airflow of what they've known, and they go, you can't put nothing in the airstream, it's going to restrict. Well, we've measured 1,000 CFM through our coil, with, you know, stepping up to 4 inch and reducing back down, 0.5 inch of water column drop, pressure drop across the coil, which is not much at all. So we've done all our dyno testing with, you know, stock.
Mm-hmm.
Put the pipe in, you know, or do it stock, run it, 400 horsepower. Put the pipe in, 400 horsepower. Okay, turn the system on, 430 horsepower. So we're not seeing any losses for, even if the system's not even on.
Right.
We're still not seeing a drop in efficiency or performance.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. It's like, have you ever been one that had a situation where you're driving a vehicle, unmodified, so to speak, and you're going up like a steep hill, and you feel like you're chugging along, you know, trying to get up the hill, or you have to give it more gas? I'm wondering what the driving effects would be with your product on that scenario. You know,
increase power, increase torque immediately, and because you're actually, refrigeration theory, the definition is to absorb heat where it's not wanted. Mm-hmm. And rejecting it to where it does not matter. That's all we're doing. It's very simple. It's taking the heat energy out of the air, so the actual oxygen atoms are not expanded, needing to be apart, separate, because there's energy, heat. We bring all the oxygen back together. Now, how that works with combustibility, there's more oxygen. Now, as far as how the car performs individually, the cars perform based on inlet air temperature sensor, or mass flow air sensor, which the sensor's built, it's integrated in. It makes the adjustments for fuel air ratio, timing, based upon the cooler air. That's how you get the extra performance instantly, just from a cool air charge.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, amazing. Now, kind of like, since you were, I guess we could say you're a Launchpad alum, and it's getting to that time of the year where SEMA is going to be start opening up the application bank, so to speak, for the 2023 competition. What had Launchpad has done for you, and what advice or encouragement could you give to the next Dustin that's out there that's thinking about it?
Don't think, just do.
And be creative with your video.
Yeah. No, I did the young, I think it was Young Entrepreneurs Network, for SEMA. And a woman had asked me, she said, if you can go back, what would you do different if you know what you know now? And I said, I wouldn't do anything different after I gave it some thought. And she goes, why? I said, well, if I knew how difficult things would be, and if I knew the challenges I would face, I probably wouldn't have done it. If I knew how hard it was going to be, I wouldn't have done it. But the fact that I didn't know, I wouldn't change it, because the things that I've learned, the people that I've met, the connections I've made, you probably can't even pay for that. And not to mention it being organic, that stuff, man, you never forget. And those experiences that are so live like that, man, they change your life, man. I'm totally a different man, friend, entrepreneur. I'm different from what experiences I've been exposed to. So I'm grateful for the whole experience, but it's just been incredible, the whole experience.
Well, I know, and like I said, when I interviewed you back in 2021, that was my start for me as far as interviewing, seeing what SEMA was doing with the Launchpad competition. And back then, all I wound up doing was, like, I think I interviewed like the top three people who made the final round of the competition, whatever. But so that sparked an idea for me and says, okay, when I come back here next year, my goal is going to be to interview all 15 of the finalists. And knock on wood, I got, 14 out of the 15, but, for the interviews. But, and then eventually when they announced, SEMA announced the top five, I then reached out to each of them and got 4 out of the 5. So, to interview, to tell their story. And it was also, at least I'd like to think I gave them an opportunity to, hey, practice your pitch with me, because basically when it came for that Wednesday, one-on-one, for the final, determination of who the top two finalists were going to be. They were going to the awards banquet.
The hot seat.
Yeah, the hot seat, exactly. Now, here's a question for you. Since I didn't make it to the award banquet ceremony where you were announced the winner, did they have the same voting style as they did last year where they had the audience vote in by phone, or was it a different process?
Yeah, they did. It was the first year they did that, but yeah, it was the same process. Same process.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, because actually I was there. I made it, this year I said to myself, because, we have both a mutual friend, Kevin Robinson.
That's my man.
Same here. I was rooting for him as well last year, when you and him were competition, and I said, hey, I gotta vote for the root for the guy, and luckily enough, he did. But he, Kevin was telling me he took some advice, I guess it was the before they announced the top five or the 15, they whittled it down. It was like the January or June or July meetup, whatever. He heard something from Chip, gave him some advice about, on his product, it was the anti-slip grip tape. He asked what it was, and he goes, so where you put your hand there, you can grip it, or, whatever. And then Chip gave him an idea, how about if you make it like a handprint? And he listened to Chip and included it for what he had on display in the Launch Corral. And I think that's what I think keyed it in for him to win.
Oh, yeah. I mean, me and Kev, we became friends the year prior, and we stayed in touch the whole entire time. I was so proud to see him win. I really, really wanted it to be me and him, like, dueling it out on stage. I really did. Because he's a great guy. He's a character. He makes me laugh. And it was so sweet to see him come back the next year and kill it. Yeah, it really was.
Oh, I know. It's like I literally follow him after the award. Everybody left outside, and I think I saw you walk up to him too to congratulate him outside of the banquet hall as they were doing that last minute film taping bit for the special that they're going to air, I think, in April.
I didn't want to go into that. I'm like, yeah, this is your movie. He's like, come over here. I'm like, no, man, it's you. You want.
Oh, it's after he was all done, I had to pull up with him on my camera. Finally, pull up the, you just won, Launchpad. Where are you going next, bit?
Yeah, yeah. Nah, he's a great, his family's amazing, too.
Yeah.
And, one of his sons actually worked with the production crew, and he was on there filming his dad.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. And much success for him, that what he's doing. And, you know, he even told me, I think last year with his first hydraulic jack product that he had when he was in competition with you, he said, basically, yeah, if I win it, basically, I want to put it back in the inventory for my product because I can't keep the stuff on the shelf. And
yeah.
And so I hope
he's got great products, man.
Yeah.
Great products. Simple and just, they work really well.
Exactly. So, cool. Are you going to be attending SEMA this year?
It's up in the air because just things are so great. I mean, I like I said, man, we relocated from California. We got a whole new shop facility out here in Mary Esther, Florida. We got manufacturing here, Lodi, California as well. We got wholesale distributors. I'm actually teamed up with Hardway Performance Diesel, Race Chip, USA is in the building too. The European piggyback tuning software we're working with. So we got a lot of interesting things going on, and you know, just doing different marketing stuff and education, really, of our product. Because when people see my product, they go, either it's every Monday I got 20 calls of, you know, I thought of this 25 years ago, or I get, why didn't anyone else think of this? So it's just been really busy. But I mean, I love SEMA, and I hope to be back this year.
Okay, well, if you do, let's stay in touch, and I'll buy your favorite beverage, whether it be coffee or suds or whatever. I'll buy you something. But yeah, you know, just you got my number, and we'll stay in touch. But yeah, I want to say thank you for coming on to the show. You'll probably be technically you're my first interviewee for my season 3 of my podcast. So I want to say thank you for that. And yeah, man, stay in touch.
Anytime,
and don't be a stranger.
Anytime, brother. Anytime.